Certainly we join, Brother Paul, this morning and welcome you to our services. We appreciate so much you coming and being a part of them today. We welcome our visitors. It's good to see each one visiting with us today, and good to have each one. So good this morning to have Brother Carl McNeil with us in our services. Been a friend a while, and we're just glad to see him in our services today, and just glad to have you this morning. Hope you've enjoyed a good week this week, and God has blessed you, and trust that you come this morning praying and prepared your hearts for the Word of God. And if you have, I believe that you'll leave saying it's been good to be in God's house. I invite your attention this morning in the Scriptures, the book of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at other passages in the Scripture, but I want to look at Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to speak to you this morning on the subject, three rich men. Three rich men. And we're going to examine a few things about three individuals that the Lord talked about and notice some things about them. The Bible says in verse 17 of Mark chapter 10, "When he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked around about, and said to his disciples, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?' The disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, and saith unto them, 'Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.' They were astonished at a measure, saying among themselves, 'Who then can be saved?' Jesus, looking up on them, saith, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible.'" You know, as we approach this text this morning, maybe one of the things that we would do would be to define the word rich. And that is, who is rich today? You know, I'm sure that in our world today, riches means to so many the accumulation of things as we possess them. Jesus warned in Luke chapter 12 concerning covetousness. And he said to his disciples, "Take heed, beware of covetousness. Because a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things he possesseth." That is, that I believe true wealth is not in the abundance of things that we possess. Now, materially today, we are one of the richest nations in this world. I realize that probably that trend is beginning to change. But we look at so many nations in the world today, and we look in ourselves, and we are rich materially, been blessed of God with many things. But yet we look and we would say today, "Well, Brother Danny, this subject, these men do not include me. Being rich does not include me." But yet, if someone from another poor country were looking and listening today, they would say today that you're rich this morning. As a matter of fact, you are richer than your forefathers. You have more than your great-grandfathers and so more. So therefore, you would be considered rich in their eyes today. I thought about those people that were killed, I believe in one of the foreign countries, Bangladesh or somewhere, in that tragic building that collapsed there. And someone said, I believe on the news, that they made, $3 a day. and that their income at the end of the month was $38. And that if we had a factory here in New York, that the average income would be $12 an hour. And you're looking at probably between $2,000 and $3,000 at the end of the month. Now, those people making $38 a month would say, now you're rich making those things. So as you look here today, we find that so many, as we look at riches, think of material treasure and the things that we possess. Our Lord taught a great lesson on riches. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, He preached the Sermon on the Mount. And if you look at that sermon closely, He taught to us what really riches are all about. He talked about how blessed are those that are pure in heart. They shall see God. He taught, blessed are they that seek after righteousness, and how that they that thirst for God, they shall be filled. But remember that in chapter 6, He moves on and says, listen, you toil and worry over what? Over your food, your things that stand, your houses, and so forth. He said, listen, the Gentiles worry after such things. Your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of. And He illustrates, if you have health, then you are truly rich indeed. I would say that to be true, wouldn't you? That if you have those things, you're rich. But we find in this text, we find an individual that was rich materially. He had many, many possessions. But we find the difficulty arises even with those that are rich. And I want you to look at this difficulty in verse 23. He states to us in verse 23, Jesus looked around after the response of the individual with great possessions, left Jesus. Jesus looked around about and saith unto His disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? The disciples were astonished and saith, listen, how hard our disciples were astonished. And Jesus answered again, said unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. So He talked about a difficulty concerning those that possess wealth of coming to know Christ as their Savior. You know, I've heard many reasons today of why people aren't saved. And I think I may have hit on one this week as I meditated on this text. We say today there are few and there are few saved in this time of the church history and their lives. We say that we're coming to the nearing of this age. I don't know. But I believe today that in America, we are rich. And I think we're rich materially. And being rich materially has created a no dependency on God. There just is simply no need of God in people's lives today because we have so many things around us. And I believe today that is why it's so hard to get people to see a need of depending and trusting in God. And that's, to me, the real reason that we're seeing so few people saved in our society in America. You know, as I go back and I hear people talk of the Depression years and things as our forefathers of how that revivals and people were saved and how that they would just flood the altar at the invitation. But you check on those times and you'll find there were times of great need. We lived in times of scarcity on material things. But today, we do not as a society. And therefore, it is very difficult. Now, I want you to note the illustration Jesus gives to show how difficult it is for a rich man or a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. He uses the illustration of a camel as we go through the eye of a needle. Now, as I visited the Holy Land several years ago, one of my favorite things to do was to ride a camel.
I mean, I look forward to getting that ride as we went to Egypt and ride on a camel. But you know, riding a camel is something difficult. You've got to get him down first. And those guides had very long sticks. And you know, a camel is tall. And that guide had to take that stick and he had to hit the knees of that camel, continue hitting them to get that camel low enough and get him on his knees where he could get up on his back. But then, for him to go through an eye of a needle was a very small place, maybe, to go into a building. And you would have to squeeze him in at very best. And Jesus was showing them, listen, look how difficult it would be for a rich person to be saved. And they would say, my, it's impossible for even a camel to do this. It's impossible. But Jesus reminds them, all things are possible with God. And that reminds us today, when problems come and when they seem unmeasurable, problems are a possibility left in the hand of God. And this morning I want to use, just for a moment, the rich young ruler. And then I'm going to go to the second rich man and note something very quick about him. And then I want to go to the third rich man and note just something about him. And I'll have to hit the highlights this morning about these men. But let's look at the first young rich man, the contrite rich man. The contrite rich man. Look at what the Bible says about this young man as Jesus responded to him. Jesus told him about the commandments, how that he should keep the commandments. And he mentions the first five commandments. And the young man says, listen, I have observed them. And then the Bible says in verse 21, Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, now one thing you like, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Now look at the disposition of this young man. The Bible says he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He went away very contrite. And we use the word contrite for humble, but we use the word contrite for being very sad. So as he walked away very sad. And as we look at this young man, we look at some things. Look at verse 22 again. The Bible says his possessions. It says in verse 22, he had great possessions. Now, there's nothing wrong with having possessions, are they? There's nothing wrong with being rich. Abraham was a righteous man, but he was a very rich man. We find Job was another righteous man, and he was a very rich man. So there's nothing wrong with possessing riches. But there is something wrong when you let riches possess you, and you begin to think so much of those riches that they begin to control your life. I mean, this morning, listen what he says to us concerning money in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He warns against money. And he says this about money. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And he says, for the love of it, for the desire of it, is the root of all evil. And as you look at this young man, he had a passion. His passion wasn't for God. His passion was for his possessions, for the goods that he had in his life. You know, today, we might have an automobile, and that automobile may mean much to us, and it can become our passion. We spend our time, we spend all of our things on that automobile. So it is with a place, so it is with land. I mean, here we find possessions was standing between this man and God. But I remind you, it can be anything that stands between us and God. And that is something that is dangerous. And he had much possession. But he had character, the Bible says. He possessed character. I mean, verses 19 and 20 will teach you that he did what? He observed the law, good to his parents. He responded well. He even respected Jesus. When he approached Jesus, what did he say? Good master. He even respected Jesus. as he talked to him. And he was a man of moral fiber. And I'm saying today, folks, that's what we need. Amen, in our society. I'm not condemning this young man because he had good morals. Because, listen, morals is something that God is pleased with. And if America needs anybody today, it needs people with good moral character in their lives. And we have people today that have good, what we call good moral characters, but you know, they're in the same shape this rich man was. They don't know God. They're not saved. Here was a man. He had good moral character, treated his family right, but there was something that he was lacking in his life. He had not entered the kingdom of God. Jesus said, not saved. And today, folks, listen. That is something that we see today in our society. Well, I'm good to my father. I'm good to my mother. That's what we ought to be. And we term people good because they're a good citizen of this country. That's what people ought to be. But I remind you in the sight of God, there is none good. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And when we think of our personal righteousness, if he had moved on to the last five commandments in that law, he would have found himself drowning in his own righteousness, because that talks about our relationship with God. And listen, his relationship with God, he was but filthy rags as he stood before a holy God. But the tragedy in this young man's life, he could not see that. He did not see that. And as we look, it resulted in him being in the shape that he was in. And as a result, many people are the same way today. I'm okay. I'm as good as other people are. I'm okay. But I want to tell you something, folks. If you have not had a relationship with God, you're not okay today. If you've not been saved by the grace of God, you're not okay today. And the problem with this young man, he knew he lacked something in his life. He was going to the right place. He even asked the right question. But I want to tell you something. He got the right answer, but he went away because he responded the wrong way. How tragic. How tragic. Here is a young man who possessed so much. Yes, he even had passion in his heart, but his passion was displaced. Because his passion was not placed upon God. And listen, he had a problem. And that problem was that he trusted in his riches instead of trusting in God. Oh, how difficult. How difficult was his problem. You say, Brother Danny, it wouldn't seem so difficult, but it was to repent. And to let things go and ask God into his heart. You know something today, folks? We have made salvation easy believism. Easy believism. But I'm going to tell you something here in this text this morning. Jesus did not make salvation easy believism. He told this young man that there would have to be a commitment in his life to enter into the kingdom of God. And that commitment would start in his heart as he would repent and look to Christ and be willing to let go of what stood between him and God. And today, folk, isn't that what repentance and faith is? Being willing to let go, turn from our sins, turn from our way, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here was a young man not willing to do that. Here was a rich man, and he was a contrite rich man because he was very sad. Now, I want you to find, and I want you to keep this in your heart, because it blessed me as I studied and read and meditated on it for several weeks. I want you to go back to Mark chapter 10 as I move to another man. But before we leave Mark chapter 10, I want you to listen to this statement. Jesus said in verse 25, "It is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." They were astonished at that measure, that statement, saying among themselves, "Who can be saved?" And when Jesus looked upon them, saying, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For God, all things are possible. Go with me now to the book of Luke chapter 19. With God, all things are possible. Now, in Luke chapter 19, we find the second rich man. And I want to show you a converted rich man. Listen to what the Bible says. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was a little stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for I must abide at thy house. He made haste, came down, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What do we see? For with God, nothing is impossible. And here the Bible describes Zacchaeus, what? A man that was rich. He had possessions, the Bible says. He was a tax collector. He was a very rich man. And therefore, he had great possessions. But the Bible also says something else. It talks about his position. He says he was a publican. And as I studied, you find the word publican means a sinner. Not only does it just mean a sinner, it means a chief sinner. And the Bible says these people around saw that because they said, look who he's going to eat with. He's going down there, eat there with a publican. What was he saying? You're going to eat with a sinner. I mean, listen, as I would go out on visitation and Brother Dale there would be with me, and I say, Brother Dale, here's two men. Here's two rich men. Now, Brother Dale, I'll tell you which one I want you to take. Brother Dale, I'll tell you what. You take this young rich, you take Zacchaeus, and I'll take the rich young ruler. You say, why, Brother Danny? Because I'll tell you why. You look at the rich young ruler, he was that good moral individual. You would say, if anybody can be saved, he can be saved. But I'll tell you what, Brother Dale, you go see Zacchaeus because he's an old hard sinner. He's a heathen out here. But look again at that verse. The Bible says how hard it is for a rich man to be saved, but with God, nothing is impossible. And what did God do for Zacchaeus? God saved Zacchaeus. I mean, as I look and I think about Zacchaeus, he had problems, didn't he? He had problems. You say, Brother Danny, what kind of problems did he have? One problem, he was little, wasn't it? I mean, listen, being little has its problems. Being small has its problems. I mean, I like to ride horses, but being small has its problems. I have two friends that ride with me. One is up in age, the other is a black preacher, and he's up in age too. Neither one of them can get on a horse neither. I'm so small I can't get up. You know what we do? We take our buckets. That's right. We take our buckets, and we go get on our buckets and climb up on our horses. And one grandson of the boy said, I'll tell you what you three are. You're the bucket riders. Well, we're little. Now, Zacchaeus is a little man. And he couldn't see over the press, could he? But I want to tell you something. God's working on Zacchaeus. God's working on him before he ever gets there, as a matter of fact. And as you look, Zacchaeus climbs up into that sycamore tree. And there he begins to look. And there he begins to look. But aren't you glad God is looking too? And you know what? Before Zacchaeus ever got up in the sycamore tree, God knew where he was, and Jesus knew where he was. And Jesus looked up, and eye to eye with Zacchaeus. And there as he confronts Zacchaeus, he invites him, come down, Zacchaeus. Come down. I've got to eat at thy house. And as Zacchaeus came down, the Bible said he received him joyfully in his heart. and I look at that, something happened in the heart of Zacchaeus. It had to. Because here was a man that was rich. And what would be his response? I'm going to keep that. What's yours is mine. Mine's mine. I'm going to keep. But that wasn't the response of Zacchaeus. He said, listen, I'm going to give half my goods to the poor. Jesus didn't tell him to do that. He did that out of his heart. I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. And then he said, listen, if I have stole, if I have robbed, I'll restore them, not one, but fourfold. I mean, something had happened to Zacchaeus. There had been a change in Zacchaeus' life. I submit to you, here was a rich man, and he was hard to be saved, but with the power of God, he saved him, and he became a converted rich man. But now I want you to look very quickly with me as the time is running. I want you to turn back to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And I want to share with you the third rich man that I look and as I studied about here in Luke chapter 16. And I believe it's verse 19. You know the story. The Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, very sumptuously every day, verse 19. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, they may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. I present to you the third rich man, the condemned rich man. He's condemned. He's condemned to a devil's hell. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. As I looked at this statement, I looked at an appointment he had to make. That was an appointment that he died. And you know the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And I also find that the beggar died, didn't he? It doesn't just come to the rich, it comes to those that are poor too. Death, physical death, meets us all. And it met these two men. You say, Brother Danny, did it come slowly? I don't know. It may have come quickly. But the fact is, he died. You know, one of the sad things in our society today is this. It seems like we only become concerned as that person grows old in life and embarks on death. And as they're standing at death's door, we can become concerned about their eternal well-being and ask them, how's your soul? Is it right with God? But you know what, folks? That should be in our lives as we meet anybody. Because death can come suddenly, can't it? Death doesn't always come slowly. Death doesn't always come with sickness. Death can catch us all unaware very quickly. That's why we need to be prepared with God. But you know, I thought about some things about this condemned rich man. In the book of Mark 10, the Bible says concerning that young ruler, Jesus loved him. And I know Jesus loved Zacchaeus because Jesus saved him. And you say, well, Brother Danny, didn't God love this man? I believe God loved him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Now you say, Brother Danny, here's this rich man. He's condemned. Why? Because he has rejected the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. He's rejected Christ in his life. He didn't want Christ to be a part of his life. And therefore, he rejected and died in that unbelief. What a terrible state. What a terrible state to leave this walk in, life in. You think about it.
In this life, he could have bought anything he wanted. His riches would have got him to places. His riches would have bought him things, anything he wanted. But you think about it. In that place, it couldn't even buy him one drop of water. It's terrible, isn't it? Oh, today, Jesus is the gift of God. Whosoever will, let him come without price and take of the water of life freely. God loves us. He gave His life for us on the cross of Calvary. That we can come from condemnation and we can come to justification. We can come to life in Christ. My, I'm glad this morning to stand here saved. And I can't congratulate myself because I didn't have anything to do with that salvation. It all belongs to Christ. But oh, you think about it. Those three men. One went away sad, contrite. Because listen, he wasn't willing to do what Christ said. Wasn't willing to give it up. They were more important to him than a relationship with Christ. And you look, another man come down rejoicing. Why? He was willing to submit his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But tragically, what happens to any life that rejects Christ? You know, today, I don't like to talk about hell. I don't like to talk about a darkness, and I don't like to talk about a place like that. But you know what today, folk? It's true, isn't it? I can't change what the Bible says. It's true. And to die without Jesus is the most terrible death one can die. But you don't have to, because Jesus has died for you. He has taken your debt, paid in full on the cross of Calvary. Won't you trust Him today? Won't you trust Him as your Savior? You'll be so glad. You'll be so glad you did in your life. I ask you to stand this morning. Father, I thank you today for your love. Lord, I thank you today for people that you mention in your word that give us so many illustrations of life and the reality of life. Lord, today, thank you for your blessings materially. Lord, never let us worship and serve the creature more than Creator. God, help us to always beware and be aware of where all the material blessings come from, and that's from above. And Lord, today, there's one here, and I don't know what they're holding on to instead of Jesus. I don't know what they're letting stand in the way instead of Jesus. But I pray today that as you prick that heart, you melt that heart, that they would be willing to give it up and let you have it today. Thank you for the presence we felt in your house this morning. And now I pray that you work in this invitation, for we ask these things in the name of our Savior. Amen.